Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. The storage industry in Canada alone brings in something like $1.2 billion a year. It's an unimaginable sum to me. That is a lot of old letters and tchotchkes and holiday decorations and camping equipment and all that stuff. And that number is growing at least 6% a year, growing and growing. Great if you run a self-storage franchise. Not so great if you're trying to make ends meet, especially in these times. Rob Carrick is personal finance columnist for the Globe and Mail, and he recently said goodbye to his family's storage unit. He's here to talk about his experience, the dollars he saved, and the hidden cost of things like storage. He's in Ottawa. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Bruce.
Why did you decide to shut down your storage locker?
It costs $95 a month. Do I need to say any more than that?
You don't. Anyone who knows you knows that's enough. But now, this was not a storage locker you had since your 20s. You had like a short-term reason to have a storage locker.
Yeah, we were transitioning from our family home to a condo, and to smooth the way, we stashed some things in a storage locker. It was our stuff, my wife and I, and also our two adult sons in their 20s had some stuff. And we just thought, we'll get this unit, we'll throw a bunch of junk in there, and we'll deal with it in due course. And it was getting on 4 years later, and I thought, enough is enough. And we took a couple trips out there to inspect what was there and began to realize that there was some non-essentials there. We came up with a plan to get rid of it all. And then we had that great moment at the end of the this past summer when I went to the front desk and I said, over and out, we are done.
Yes.
And it's all yours. And they immediately got into the computer, took us off the billing list, and I have not heard from them since.
Wow, what a delight. Almost like found money. Tell us about your process. How did you approach this? Because if I were to oversimplify, there's like, you know, you're going to clear out one box a week and have it be done in a couple of months. And another one is book your Saturday and Sunday, everybody. We're driving the stuff to Restore.
I would say don't go for the do it all in one day. It's too overwhelming in an emotional sense and in a practical sense. What I start off by doing, here's what we did, and I think it worked out really well. Go visit your storage locker, take a lot of pictures, and then you come back and you can sort of strategize. Okay, we could put this box there and this box here, and that box can go into the garbage and that box can be donated. And think about it, and then attack it like over a few weekends. It doesn't have to be all in a row. And deal with it in bits and pieces. And then all of a sudden it seems to become very doable because you'll get critical mass and you'll think, okay, we had 100 boxes, we're down to 10, and then I can sort of chart a path to zero.
There are people, and I count myself among them, who are deeply sentimental to stuff. And I'm not a hoarder. My husband's a minimalist, so I couldn't be a hoarder. But I do have a real resonance for things from my childhood, for example. How did you and your family navigate some of those emotional decisions that aren't logical? You're never going to wear that thing again, and it's not going to be useful to anyone after you die. Were there some tough choices for you?
You know what? We with the core emotional things like photographs and stuff from when our boys were really little, and books like for kids and such, we found space for them. We just shoehorned them into our condo storage locker or our cupboards or shelves. We thought, too important, we're keeping it, we'll just find a place. But you know, when you go back to your locker over time and you look at things and you think, I thought that was really important, but I haven't touched it or thought about it in the past 12 months, that makes it easier to get rid of it.
Yeah. One of the benefits of the storage locker is that you don't have to see the stuff anymore. You can pretend that you don't have the stuff because it's in a storage locker there. Do you think people forget they're paying this amount of money because it's not like right there? If it was, you know, a storage container that they had to walk past that they were paying $95 a month for, would it be easier to be better aware of the money going down the drain?
I think it definitely would. And I really think you're onto something in terms of you get used to this monthly payment. It becomes just one more household expense that you're used to. It's like how people carry this permadebt on their home equity lines of credit. They just get used to paying that interest every month. It becomes sort of an expense just like the phone or hydro or heat. But you know, and I have to say, I fell into that trap for a little while. You just got used to that. But it just hit me at one point, and I thought, $95. So here's inflation, and it's eroding our living standard. Our money's going less far. What can we do to cut costs to sort of offset that? And boom, I saw this. It jumped out at me, and I thought, let's do this. It's very doable. And now I feel like I've sort of punched back a little bit against rising prices.
Yeah. Now, this doesn't sound like it was the case in your situation, but for some people, there are assets in there. Maybe not like, you know, gold bullion or anything, but a dining room table that could collect $100 on Facebook Marketplace, or I don't know, some other items of value. Is there a case to be made that this could not only be a cost saver in terms of cash burn, but could throw some cash in your pocket on stuff you could sell?
Absolutely. You know what? I would go there with your phone and take a bunch of pictures and try putting it on Kijiji. Or see, in our neighborhood in Ottawa, there's a neighborhood sort of message board, and we've had a lot of success of just putting things up there. And sometimes within minutes, someone contacts you. Yes, I'll buy that. You know, I'm not going to say it's been a huge money maker, but it's a way to convert small, interesting things or even larger ones to cash. And I strongly encourage people to do it. I think this sort of second handing idea is really catching on in this inflationary world. And yes, you might be able to turn some of this into cash. And if it doesn't work out that you turn it into cash, maybe you can get somebody to pick it up and you give it away for free, and you make somebody happy by giving them something that really means something to them. And you've got it out of your storage locker, out of your garage, and it's over and out.
Yeah. One of the ideas we created with my mom when she was downsizing from her family home was we created this archetype of a young woman who needed stuff, and we called her Hannah. So as I was, you know, holding up the vase or the salad bowl or the pair of winter mitts, I would say to my mom, "What do you think? Do you think Hannah could use this?" And it was much easier for my mom to think she was making a contribution to a young woman who needed a pair of winter mitts than, you know, letting go of something that had been so important to her. Rob, you have a very active following in terms of your readers. What did people say? $95? Deal of the century? I pay, what, $250?
Well, you know what? We did have the smallest storage locker, Bruce, the smallest one possible. It was still pretty big. You could have easily got like a couple of refrigerators in there. But here's an interesting story, though. We went to the storage complex, and we hadn't been in a while. And in the interim, they had built a whole add-on facility the size of a giant factory. Like, I think you could make cars in this building. It was so big. And that was added on after we sort of came in. So not only are there bigger storage lockers, but now there's a whole other giant complex of storage lockers in the same location. So there's people paying way more than we are. Look, you know, I don't judge people. Sometimes you're in a jackpot. You need to find a place for things that you consider valuable. But I would encourage everyone to think about the end game. Don't make it permanent. It's just too much money.
Do you think this is part of our never-ending drive to consume? Like, buy more stuff. We got to buy more stuff. There's this one in, one out rule, like you buy a sweater and then you have to get rid of a sweater. So we have a lower likelihood of falling into a situation where you need a storage locker, or even worse, you need a bigger house.
You know, I think part of the issue is that we, you know, the Canadian style house is usually pretty large. We have basements, we have lots of cupboard space, and it encourages us to accumulate. And I think you're right on. In our case, we moved to a condo. It's a smaller living space, and it's really helped us differentiate between what we really need and what we can live without. And you get into this mindset, like you just said, where something comes into the place, something goes out. And I would really encourage people to try that. You know what? It's very freeing to get rid of your things.
Mm. Yeah, you're 100% right. Rob, thank you for joining us to talk about your story.
Glad to do it, Bruce.
Rob Carrick is a personal finance columnist at the Globe and Mail. His personal quest to save $95 a month, $1,200 a year.